Justin, can we pop on the lights over top here? Thank you. Hallelujah. Everybody say, God bless the kids.
God bless the kids.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got about 11 ways that we could go this morning, so it's time to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Your word is just loaded with life. Glory to God. So many people think it's loaded with death, but it is not. It is loaded with life. And Lord, as we talk about the power of the word, we thank you today, Father, that you will make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that, Lord, you will think through my mind and speak through my mouth to these, your precious children. And Lord, for that we give you all thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Last week we started talking about the fundamentals of Christianity being basically in one place and one place only, and that is in the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is what created this earth. The Word of God is what gives us brand new life as a new creature in Christ. His Word He has exalted, we saw last week in Psalm 138:2, that His Word is exalted according to all of His name. So He's exalted His name, of course, above every name, but He's also exalted His Word because His Word created the name. Amen. And as we look at some more things about the Word of God, last week we ended with the concept of meditating on the Word. And I told everybody exactly what to do last week to cause your meditating to flourish. How many even remembered last week? How many remembered yesterday? Oh, man, life is so wild. But at any rate, if you meditated, good. If you didn't meditate, good. But I can tell you this, God has some things to say about meditating on the Word. And when we ended, we were talking about Joshua, who fought the battle of Jericho, among lots of other battles, by the way. And so as we were seeing what God told Joshua, it bears repeating, and let's go ahead and shoot that up on the on top. It's on the screens. We're gonna go to Joshua 1:8. So Joshua 1:8, and we're gonna take a little bit of time looking at what God did in that man's life and what he let God do through him. It's an amazing thing. So here's what God said to him. There you go. Let's all say it together. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away that reproach from Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day." Okay, now, when Joshua, in Joshua 1:8, was told to meditate day and night on what Moses had written in the law, no doubt this was a huge deal because every Israelite knew exactly what the history of their nation was. And it started to some degree in Egypt. Anybody know how they got to Egypt? How did Israel get to Egypt? Joseph, a guy named Joseph. Guy that was a dreamer and was a man that turned his people from sure death, because they were in the midst of a horrific time of drought and just horrible conditions, and nobody had any food. So they were going to Egypt to buy food, and Joseph ended up being the guy that was distributing the food, because he helped Pharaoh figure out a dream. Amen. And when he did that, Pharaoh said, all right, I can tell you are smarter than anybody in this whole place except me. And I'm going to put you second. I'm going to make you vice president. Okay. So at that point, great favor was on the 70 people that came from Canaan land to Egypt so that they could survive. And the place that God gave them, because Pharaoh was so thrilled that of the work that Joseph did. Joseph, in fact, changed the entire economy of that whole area, because people got so desperate in that horrible, horrible time that they sold themselves at one point, at the end of their rope, they sold themselves to Pharaoh. And pretty soon, Pharaoh owns everybody and everything that everybody's own. Okay? So, man, this is a big deal in a transfer of wealth like we have never seen in our life, all because of a little Jew boy. Okay? All because of him. And he invites his family back. That's a whole nother story. And they begin living there. And Pharaoh gave him the best land in the whole place, a place called Goshen. So they thrived in Goshen and thrived enough that they didn't want to leave and go back to Canaan land when the drought was broken. Amen. But guess what happened? 400 years later, they were still there, but they were not the... they were not the head, they were the tail. And everything had changed. Everything had changed. And as those changes took place, Israel went from being the crown of Pharaoh's people, the people in his under his jurisdiction. He turned them into his slaves. And we do not know when that transfer took place, but we do know by the time that God was talking to Moses about getting them out of there, getting his people out of Egypt, it had to be many, many years and many generations. 400 years is a long time. Okay, so they were slaves, and I'm going to guess, but I think you and I, you would probably say, well, there might have been some of that for sure. So at some point, one of the pharaohs decided to break all proper protocol and take the very people that had made Egypt the most extraordinarily wealthy place on the planet Earth. And they were going to take those people and make them their slaves. He was going to do that, the Pharaoh was. When he got that done, and how he did it, we have no idea, but you have to expect that there was some brutality involved. Had to be some things with fights. Had to be a lot of stuff then there. So obviously Egypt won that fight. And from then on, don't you think there's a possibility that the people in Egypt would say, nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. We took you to task, and now you're our slaves. What about your promised land now? You talk about all the time. God's going to take you to the promised land. No, you ain't going to go to the promised land. You are going to be our slaves from the day you are born to the day you die. You're going to be serving us. That, my friend, is reproach. Which was just up there. God said to them, and here's Joshua, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land in 3 days. And he is letting them know, God is letting them know, now is the time I'm going to roll that horrible reproach that was over you for how many years they were slaves. That whole thing is gone right now. How many of you realize that in families all over America, all over Greeley, Colorado, there are children that are being raised and have primarily reproach in their life? Who do you think you are? I was a big brother. I had a big sister, but I didn't have a big brother. I had a little brother. I was 5 years older than he was. And by the time he was about, I would say 10 or 11. So you can figure out I would have been 16 or 17. He got so irritating to me at times. I reproached him. Yeah. And normally what I would do would, I would grab him and throw him against the nearest wall. Yeah. It didn't hurt him. I didn't think. Until he was about 35 years old, and he said, you know, that hurt. I said, really, that hurt? I just thought I was just going to do a little stout. He said, no, that really hurt me. I said, well, but you are such a nerd. I was an athlete. He was a band leader. He did it for CU. He was one of the band directors. He was one of the guys out on the field. Amen. And I thought, when I saw him out there, was the first time I was ever proud of him. I thought, you got on the football field. I didn't. So you are just tromping around, you know. But at any rate, oh, I tell you, I reproached that kid a lot during those years because he just, how many know what I'm talking about, big brothers? One, yeah. You were the big daddy, yeah, with a strong arm. That's it. Now, those kind of things can get inside people and never come out. You get reproached, and pretty soon you're in a cage where you're going, I am the most worthless person in the world. I can't ever do anything right. Everybody just laughs at me, and makes fun of me. And what am I going to be when I get to be an adult? What am I going to be? And you find out. They find a way to numb all that pain one way or another, don't they? Okay? The only way that will ever set them free, we know, is to get born again. And when you get born again, you got a brand new daddy. Somebody said hallelujah. Yeah. When you get a brand new daddy, then things can really look up, especially if he's filthy rich. I don't care how much money you want to think about, God spends that much by paving his roads. I mean, just throw the gold down, guys. We got another bunch coming, you know. I mean, they're just having babies left and right. Here we go. Got to expand the territory with all the mansions. Amen. So, if you are one of those people that feels like you've been reproached, this is a really interesting thing, because God said, I will roll it away. Gilgal is the Hebrew word for roll. And I just got to thinking, he rolled it away. He rolled it away. He rolled it away. And I just got to thinking, just had this thing pop into my head. What if he rolled it out so that the people could walk on it? Instead of it being on top of them, now they're walking on it. Does that make any sense to you? You switch it around. You turn it around. What was clobbering you is now under your feet. Amen? So in the whole process, Joshua, in Joshua's place in history, he was going to turn an entire portion of the earth. It's called Canaan land, the promised land. It's a large, large portion of land, much bigger, by the way, than the nation of Israel is right now. Much bigger. Okay? Goes clear over into Iran. So it gobbles up a lot of the Middle East. So God promised them that land. And now they're going into their place where the giants are. Remember the ten of the 12 spies that went out from the beginning of the trek to go to the promised land? And they said, there's giants there, we're grasshoppers, they're giants. That's because they'd been reproached all those years. What else were they going to say? There was only two guys that had the faith in God that it took to say, so what? We were reproached. Man, we have got God behind us now. And he's going before us too. Hallelujah. Okay? And when Joshua sent out his spies, he only sent two. Where did he send them? He sent them into Jericho. And said, just check things out. See what we got to be careful of. And they came back and said, you know what? We ran into quite a girl. Oh, yeah. She was amazing. Amen. And she told us something that we all need to hear. And all the people go, what is it? What are we need to hear. Oh, please, please, we need to hear it. Are there giants in there? And she told them, this is what happened to us. We heard about you guys when you were coming across on the other side of the Jordan. And you destroyed Og. Og had 15 toes or something like that, and the Bible says. This guy is huge. He's massive. And they just ran him over. Because the Lord was before them. And he wasn't just there like we have him now. We have him by faith. He was there in his tent. And the people could see the smoke. And they could see the fire. And they could see that the fire came to give them light at night. And then there was the cloud by day that kept him comfortable. His air conditioning was on them. Amen. It's a good place to have air conditioning if you ever know anything about that part of the world. Okay. So Rahab is the name of this lady. And Rahab told them, we saw what you did to Og, and then we saw what you did to the second, another king. And she said, our hearts melted within us. And they're going, wow, who'd have thought? Okay? So we all need to understand something here. God is well able to change your heart from reproach to courageous. From reproach to victorious. From reproach to a place of preeminence in this world. They're going to go through this whole section of the country. They're going to go through this whole place, and they are literally God's cleanup crew. Because he said, now everybody needs to get this. This is so important. He said to basically Abraham. He told Abraham, your kids are going to be in 400 years of slavery, man. It's going to be awful. But I'm going to get them out of there. And he said, when we get them out of there, I'm going to take them to this Canaan land and plant them. I'm going to get this thing done, okay? And I forgot where I was going, so we'll go someplace else. Amen. So as they are ready to do this, and they find out, we do this being, they're going to go into Jericho. Okay? And all the people listen to the good report. And they are saying, the two spies are saying, guys, this thing is done already. Yes. That's the way God does things, doesn't he? Yes. When Joshua went outside one evening, he saw a man, the Bible says, out there with a sword. And as he's standing there looking at this man, he said, are you for us or are you against us? And the man said what? Neither one. figure that one out. I am the captain of the Lord. Really, we would say it this way. I'm the captain of the Lord's army. And you know what? You know what Joshua did? Just ran to his feet and prostrated himself and said, go ahead and tell me. You got anything to say? Tell me. And he said, you are on holy ground. Now, the holy ground had been absolutely corrupted by the horrible lack of morality in the whole area of the Canaanites. Okay? And God said, here's what's going to happen after those 400 years. He said, the cup of iniquity of all those seven tribes up there is full. It's full. And when it's full, we surmise that you cannot go any further into darkness than what you are in right now. And you're so far in the darkness that the light cannot touch you. So the only way we can deal with this is you've got to be taken off the planet. Do you know that there are some things that are so powerful in this earth? And we know people that have atomic missiles, they don't care about killing you once. They are programmed to kill people for many times over that. So we can destroy the whole world 30 times. Yeah, they're here now. They're in people's arsenals. We got them now. Listen, those things are going to kill everybody. Why don't we do something about those? God said, I've had it with this stuff. I've had it with all the sin. So you're going to have to leave the planet. Now, just please understand this. That's mercy. Because there's other people that want to live right. And those other folks are going, if you say that again to me, I'll kill you right on the spot. That's when your heart has turned stone cold and you just as soon kill people as you would let them live. Okay? You got to get rid of people like that. I'm sorry. That's what God did. He said, you go in there, you got to kill everybody. You got to kill the babies. You got to kill them all because blood is running in their veins that is full of sin. And the cup of their iniquity is over. So I'm bringing you in here. And I'm going to have you cleanse this land. And that's just what they did almost. But not fully. And God told him, if you do not fight, that of the 12 tribes, I think it was about 50-50. Half of the tribes took the land. Half the tribes didn't take the land. And when they didn't take the land, then they commingled with the very people that they were supposed to destroy. And then what they didn't destroy came back on them, and they were as bad as their enemies. You don't get this sermon every week, do you? Wow. Sin is a big deal because it extinguishes life. And anybody that has gotten out of death into life through the new birth, everybody knows the difference. There's a different thing going on inside of you than there is when you are absolutely immersed in the world system. The world system is all about me, 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 me. And then I'll take pictures of it. Me, 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 me. Amen. See, I got you right there, didn't I? Amen. I got me too. We took a lot of pictures of it last night. Hallelujah. And some are good and some aren't. Ain't amen. So really and truly, I want to close this today by just letting all of us know reproach can be fixed. It can be fixed, but it's only going to be really fixed in one way, and that is to put your hand in the hand of the Lord. Yeah. You ain't going to get there any other way. You can try to get over it, and certainly some people can work their way through those kind of things. And if they got a real, real strong will, they can push down those feelings when they're trying to pop back up. Okay? But that's not the answer. The answer is to be a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. It says that you and I can be new creations. The past has been wiped away and the new has come. Amen? The new is the life of God coming into us. And the way he does things always has blessings. I'm gonna stop with this next thing. Here is a blessing that God promises us out of the book of Psalms. It's in Psalm 165, and it says this: those who love your law have great peace, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Okay? So we need to get out of reproach into peace. God can get the ball rolling. He can start rolling that reproach off of you, and you can land it right in a valley of peace. Ooh, glory to God. I want you to. No sorry to it.
I just wanted to expand on that word reproach. That basically just in your Amplified, it'll say shame or guilt or condemnation or failures. And so I think we don't use the word reproach, but shame is like the big one. That's the people growing up in shame, maybe because meditate on that.
Thank you, John. If you think about that and meditate on it, it sucks your energy and your joy and your life to, like, you don't want to get out of bed.
Amen.
And you're like, well, I can't do that. I did. Well, I just can't. And that, and what we're training our Grace and Josiah on right now is, just because the devil gives you a thought does not mean that you need to get in agreement with that. Right. And so this week, you know, I'm trying to jump back into work, and after being off for a week, and I'm at my weakest, and I'm like, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. And that's always prime time for the devil to come at you with stuff where you're just like, I'm drowning here. And that's kind of what I felt like this week, because I was kind of like in several areas. I'm like, I'm drowning. But just knowing who Jesus is, and I just have to laugh. I was talking to my kids about stuff, and Caleb, who loves to just pop out funny stuff, says, Jesus rescues. And that was something he had learned at VBS. And so it's one of those things where I just think, when the devil starts beating you up with all your past failures and says, you'll never get out of this, you'll never get out of this, you know. Matt and I have been married for a while, and I've been walking with the Lord 11 years, and the devil still, from stuff from 20 years ago, still tries to bring that up to me. And when I'm at my lowest, when I'm at my weakest, it sucks the life and the joy yes. out of me. And I go, I can't get out of bed today. I just can't. And so what you need to remember, and I always, that place of Gilgal is a place of rest. And if you go through the book of Joshua, they always return there. After battles, yeah. They always return to that Gilgal. And you need to enter that rest. And that place of rest for us is going to be the cross. Because all my past failures and all my past sins and all my mistakes and any future mistakes I have, it is taken care of. Yeah. At the cross.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus. Yeah. He didn't stay dead in that grave, but when he came out of that grave, I came out with him.
Yes.
And so I don't have to worry about the mistakes from 20 years ago. I don't have to worry about mistakes from this week. Yeah. I don't have to worry about screwing up stuff at work this week, because God has got my back, because at the cross, yeah. he took care of it. And then start thinking about what that bought me, and just thinking what that did for me. And I was telling Jocelyn a couple weeks ago, like when Bissy was getting ready to move, and I was just, she was going through stuff, and I was thinking of things. And one night I was just thinking, I'm going to spend eternity with God and Jesus. So whatever I'm going through this week, it's going to be worth it.
Amen.
It's temporary.
Yes.
It came to pass. It's going to pass. This week may be hard. Next week's going to be better. So I just wanted to encourage you, return to Gilgal. Return to that cross. And remember that Jesus loves you. He loved you so much that he chased you down. You could not outrun his love. You could not outrun his mercy.
Amen.
You could not outrun his blessing.
Yes.
Your past failures won't affect your future.
Yes. For Gilgal is the place of the new. It is the place where a reproach and shame came away from you. And in its place, the light did shine. And when you lift your hands to him, it will make your heart turn sublime. So know that there is a place that is safe and is always rest. And there you can come and hear about my best. For my best is what I want for you. My best is what you can have. My best is from my heart to you, and you, my child, can enter into eternal rest. Reach out and say, you are my only way. Reach out and know he is the pathway that we must go. And let your hearts rejoice today, for the reproach and the shame is rolling away. Hallelujah. Now you have to believe that. You have to believe that. Get a picture in your mind of that reproach, that shame, just falling off of you. just fallen off of you. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for cutting shame and reproach off of people today. We thank you for rolling it away and letting us step on it all we want. We thank you, Father, that you are doing a surgery in hearts in this building right now. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And Father, as we commit ourselves to the joy and the peace and the love and the hope that you have placed in our lives and in your kingdom to be distributed to anybody that wants it in any quantity that they want it. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we say today, this is a day that my life is turning around. Glory to God. Woo, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Turning around. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Fire away, honey.
Hallelujah. I just got in at the end here, but in youth we talked about the woman with the issue of blood. And when I came out here, Pastor Chris was sharing, that's kind of cool. I came out of the youth room. You were up here. And, you know, we're a body. But this is what I heard up here when Pastor was prophesying. We are believers.
Yes.
You know what? We are believers. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Wow, we have power. We have victory. We have joy. We have what Pastor Chris was sharing with. We're believers. Mm-hmm. And we are in a different kingdom. And you know what? I mean, I had somebody call me the other day. Oh, my goodness. And they were just telling me all this about the news, all this awful stuff. And I just kind of wanted to go and hang up the phone. And it's, you know what, it's okay if you want to watch the news, that's okay. But don't let it drag you down. I mean, we are believers. Watch Christian news. And I just felt like when I came in, we need to stand up and say, I'm a believer.
Yes,
can you do that with me?
Yes.
Stand up.
Yes.
No matter what, anything else, no matter if you're big or tall or fat or skinny or old or young, we are believers.
We're believers.
We are believers.
We are the believers.
Hallelujah. We believe in Jesus. Hallelujah.
We believe in
we
him.
Believe in Jesus.
We believe
Hallelujah.
In Jesus.
Woo! Amen.
Glory to God.
Does that make
thank
you feel
Lord.
Good inside?
Yes.
Okay, say it again.
We are believers.
Hallelujah. We're believers
we're
in
believers.
The kingdom of God. We are believers.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We are not unbelievers.
Woo.
We are believers.
We are believers. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Should we bless the people?
Yep. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for every
yes.
person here right now.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you that the bad stuff is gone.
Yes, yes.
By faith.
By faith.
And by faith, we'll keep it under our feet.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. And Father, for those that are here today that would say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Well, talk to the people around you.
Amen.
They will
Amen.
Tell you. Talk to us. We'll tell you what you need to do to take this next step. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that there, everybody here is blessed. Going out of this building,
yes.
blessed coming back in next week.
Yes.
And, Father, we thank you they're blessed in their families. They're blessed in their
yes.
lives.
Yes.
They're blessed in their
blessed.
Hearts. They're blessed in their opportunities.
Yes.
And you will roll away
yes.
the reproach and the shame. And you will cause the light to be so bright over their lives.
Yeah.
All their friends and their family will say, what happened to you?
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And everybody said amen. All right.
Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.